Jeremiah and Jesus say something quite similar. You human beings, you've gotten it all wrong. And this is how we got it wrong. The first chapter of Genesis describes the creation of everything by God in 6 days. And on the sixth day, the pinnacle of his creation, human beings, are created. And this whole thing is literally described almost like a temple. And in the temple in Jerusalem, there was something called a firmament. And it's also a word that we use for the sky and the stars. And in the temple in Jerusalem, there were these hanging lights at all different levels. And unlike our pendants here, which are all structured in a very neat, orderly way, they're just kind of clustered all over the place. And each light had multiple candles, and so it looked like the stars. And so the author of that first chapter of Genesis is describing the firmament, the creation, as a temple in which everything that God created worships God, its creator. And just like in Greek and Roman temples, in the middle of each temple was a statue, an image of the god or the goddess that the temple was dedicated to. So in Athens, for example, in the temple there was the statue of Athena, the goddess of Athens. And in the first chapter of Genesis, the authors say that the image, the statue that is placed in the temple of God's creation is human beings. We are the image of God, created higher than the angels, created in God's image, just a little less than God's ourselves. And then in the second chapter of Genesis, the authors describe the fall of Adam and Eve. They who were in the image of God, they who were the centerpiece of God's temple, that people could look on an image of God himself, the devil tempts them and says, if you eat this fruit, you would be like gods. But they already were. He tempts them into taking something that is less than what they already were. If God is ever disappointed in us human beings, it's that we think too small. We're thinking in terms of this world and this age. And so Jeremiah says, woe to you if you put your trust in human beings and things of this world. You're like a bush in a lava waste, a salt and empty land. But if you accept yourselves as the image of God, capable of infinity, capable of imagining the infinity of God's love and the infinity of our own existence, that we're going to live with God forever. If you accept that, that's the reality. So don't accept something smaller than that. And if you accept that, then you're like a tree that's planted near running water. Your roots go deep down into that water of life, and even in drought, you still bear fruit. Well, Christ is that image. He's the image of God. Adam, the first human, settled for something less, didn't trust that God had an eternal destiny for him. And so he ends up dying. He ends up separating himself from God, leaving the garden. Jesus, the new Adam, in deep prayer and in the 40 days he spends in the wilderness reflecting on the reality, the truth, and his own relationship to the Father, unlike Adam, he trusts that he is a child of God. And that gives him the courage to lay down his life It gives him the courage to speak truth to power. It gives him the courage to be more concerned about the rest even than about his own life, making himself vulnerable, risking, because he had nothing to lose. And then he tells his disciples, you're children of God too. You're just like me. You're the image of God. What do you have to lose? Don't guard and protect your life so jealously, because God is offering you eternal life. What is this short few years of our existence on earth? And so we are called to be Christ-like. That gospel message that Jesus gives is not so much a moral code as it's an invitation to be Christ. And what does Christ look like? He looks like this vulnerable one. He looks like this one who lays down his life. And that's why Jesus, in so many different times and ways in the Gospels, says the only way to gain your life is to lose your life. The only way to be first is to take the last place. He says it so often because it's so true. Now, in Luke's Gospel, this Sermon on the Plain that the heart of it we just heard, that passage follows a few verses that say that Jesus spent the night in prayer. And the gospel writers love to do that literary device. Before something significant happens, before Jesus does something really significant, he spends the night in prayer. And that's what happens here. And so after spending the night in prayer and communing deeply with the Father, and solidifying in his own consciousness more and more his own experience of childhood, sonship, then the next day he speaks to his disciples and he tells them these words. This is important. This is the essence of who we are as Christians. Now, all those things of the earth and other human beings, they've all been put there by God for our enjoyment, for our use, for our distribution, but not to be hoarded, not to be guarded, but to let slip through our fingers, you know? There's nothing wrong with the things of this world. Everything God created is holy and good. But it's the way we sometimes misuse those things, the way we sometimes misuse our relationships with one another. We need to be more Christ-like, allowing these things to slip through our fingers, to recognize in our daily prayer that we don't belong to ourselves, that we belong to another. Jesus doesn't experience himself as belonging to himself, but rather belonging to the Father. Jesus isn't willful about what he wants to do or what he wants to make of himself. He allows himself to be molded by the Father in deep, night-long kinds of prayer. Well, that's us too. We allow God to mold us, to fashion us into God's image. How would we know what that image is? How could we make that image? Let God make that image. Allow ourselves to be pliable, clay in the work of the potter, who is the Father. Allow ourselves to be vulnerable and lose our life so that we may gain our life eternally.